a local tune for you, Will Lindley, with a track called Miss Me. It's a brand new song, fresh out of Cape Town, and I think quite appropriate for the interview that we are about to kick off. I am joined on the line by Linus Horning, who is the author of Waterboy. It is a story, unfortunately, making sense of my son's suicide. Linus, thank you for joining me on the line today, and it's honestly a great privilege to be able to speak to you.
Thank you so much, Leah, and for giving me this chance to, yeah, to speak to people about this, yeah, rather devastating subject.
As I understand, you lost your son Spencer to suicide in 2019 already, and you've been navigating the last 3 years and have written a book since. Is this to try and make sense, I guess, you and your husband Chris, of this unfortunate event that you guys have had to make sense of and to perhaps help others along the way?
Absolutely. You're devastated when something like this happens, to lose anybody and to lose a child and to lose it in something like this way, where it feels as though they've chosen to leave you or they've chosen to leave life. It's absolutely devastating. You're left with all manner of churning and questioning, and I needed to work through that. And part of that was talking to my three best friends across the world at all hours on WhatsApp messages and emails, and that became the backbone for Waterboy. And initially, I put it together in book form. Within that first year, it was more or less as a diary, just to share with my son when he gets older, for him to be able to read it, and with a few close friends. But then as more people heard what had happened and contacted me, I shared it with one or two of them, and they said it helped to know they weren't alone and that other people are wrestling with this. So hence the book.
Right. Now, Glynis, you are an award-winning freelance journalist, and is this your first book?
Yeah, I've contributed to others. Durban is a word, and there's one about street people, but this is my first book as such. And it wasn't that I sat down and decided to write a book. I just had this terrible thing happening, and then, you know, decided to try and also use it to try and make sense and to also keep my boy alive in some form and to maybe indirectly help him to help other people.
I'm sitting with the book, and I have been able to read the first few pages, and it's incredibly moving. It is incredibly sad to understand what your family has had to suffer. And like you say, I am reading it as if I am peering into the pages of your own personal diary, trying to navigate life post-suicide. And unfortunately, as we know, you are not the only family, and there are so many people who are grappling with fear, anxiety, and depression. And Spencer's was a six-year-long journey from his first diagnosis to his eventual death.
Absolutely. And it's a journey, unfortunately, more and more people seem to be taking, especially young people. And it's obviously got worse, I'm sure, the whole levels of depression and anxiety since COVID and the lockdowns. You know, SADAG, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, used to receive like 600 calls a day. They're now receiving about 3,000 calls a day.
Wow.
And our suicide rate is about 23 a day. That's more or less one an hour. It's terrifying. And young people are in a particularly vulnerable situation in this very pressured world.
Yes, yes. Glynis, I'm unfortunately sitting in a similar boat with my family, where we have unfortunately had to acknowledge the very real struggle that the world is facing with depression, with anxiety, with suicidal ideation and suicide itself. My sister is currently battling with depression, and I can see a trend in the age group over here as well. It's something that my family is only very... We've only really come to understand the seriousness of these matters and how many people are suffering through our own experience. And it's not something that I would wish upon anybody. Fortunately, we do still have my sister alive, and as well can be when you are battling. But I came across a poem in the book as well, written by Sophie Ard. And I'd just like to read a few lines of this, because I think it is so beautiful, and it is it's a piece of work that really allows somebody who doesn't understand suicide or depression or anxiety to have a peer into it. And Sophie writes over here, swimming is difficult. Swimming from one side of a pool to the other is quite a task, considering you need to move all four of your limbs at once. His mom said that depression is like swimming, but rather swimming all the time. Not when it's summer and you choose to take a dip, but instead all the time. And swimming is something that you and your husband enjoy daily, as I've come to understand. Is this where the metaphor for Waterboy has kind of arisen from? What's going on with this metaphor?
Swimming is something Chris and I have always done. It's our kind of sport for choice, sport in inverted commas, our way of exercising. But I found that by keeping up the swimming, that kind of kept us sane or sane-ish when this happened. We didn't miss a day. We swim a kilometre every morning at 5 o'clock in the dark. Well, rain, snow, no matter what. I think it's the idea of moving, getting endorphins flowing. It's the rhythm, it's the breathing, it's the meditation. Those are all the sorts of things, and just the sheer routine that help when something like this happens. I mean, nobody can quite understand this kind of grief. And I can tell you, Pina, I thought I understood. You know, I lost both my parents over the years, but it's different to lose somebody in this way when you kind of feel that had to have been something more you could have done. And it doesn't matter how unrealistic it is, you've got to live with that.
I'm so sorry for your loss, and I am in awe of your bravery and how you have taken this tragedy and turned it into a triumph in terms of this book. And you are honoring your son's memory. I'm poring over the pages as I sit here now, but I would like to share this with our listeners. And I understand that you will be speaking on the subject with another survivor, I guess, orphaned by suicide, Alicia Sudas, and as well as psychiatrist Dr. Hermant Norbarth on the 3rd of August at the Durban International Book Fair hosted at Sibaya. Can you tell us more about this event and how, if somebody would like to get their hands on your book and share in this journey with you, how can they connect?
They can just Google the Durban International Book Fair, and if they go onto the website, you can actually book in advance to reserve a place. It's no charge, it's all free, and during this whole book week, as it is, there are going to be like 125 different authors there. But this particular thing, next Wednesday between 2 and 3 o'clock, I'll be chatting along with Alicia, who was about 12 when her whole family was taken out in a murder-suicide. Horrendous.
We
will be talking, and Dr. Helmut Narbath will be, as a psychiatrist, will be interviewing us at the event. So, it would be, if anyone's got questions or whatever, they're very welcome to bring them too. And, I think there will be copies of the books on sale if anybody would be interested. Just to let you know, too, that all my royalties for the book go to SADAG.
Glynis, this is incredible. The work that you are doing and the way that you have navigated this journey so bravely. I understand that depression and anxiety is something that is still a very stigmatized conversation. You know, it's an uncomfortable conversation, especially when suicide is wrapped into that mix. But I sincerely believe that more conversations like this can and will save lives, and simply understanding that having major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety, as Spencer did, it's a constant battle, and finding treatment and finding support, it's all part of the journey. So if somebody can take some advice and some comfort, mainly some comfort from your book, I hope that they are able to get their hands on a copy and to be able to connect with you at the book fair next week.
Thank you, Leah. That would be wonderful. I couldn't ask for more. I'm sure my boy couldn't have it.
Thank you so much. Glynis, is there anything that you would like to highlight in this conversation before we make our separate ways?
I think you've actually said it all. But people who experience extreme grief, as well as those who experience extreme anxiety, depression, do need to reach out. And if I've learned anything from what we've been through, have somebody you can talk to. Open up. Don't keep it bottled up. Have at least one or two people that you can open to. And if you don't have them in your own family or friendship circle, contact SADAG. They have got counselors and people and support groups that they can put you in touch with. So please remember them.
SADAG. Okay, so I've got it here is SADAG, and that is SADAG.org. It is the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. And there is also a hotline over here. So anybody who is listening to this, please make note of this. If you have somebody that you know is suffering, people do not, as we've learned in this conversation, need to suffer alone. The hotline is 0800 567 567, and if this is a conversation that you feel you need to pick up, there are people out there leading the way through, unfortunately, their own suffering, but really helping change the tide on controversial topics like suicide, depression, and anxiety, which really should not be termed controversial anymore. Glynis, thank you so much for being with me this morning. I really, really do hope that you will find success in next week Wednesday, and yeah, be able to honor Spencer's memory through your continued work.
I really appreciate it. Thanks to you and to all your listeners.
Thank you, Glynis. Headed back to the music now. It's Niall Horan with a track called Slow Hands, just after a short ad break.